Well, hello, Merry Band of Regulars. I am so excited to welcome a new sponsor to the show, MyPillow. You know Mike Lindell and the great work he's been doing, not just for the conservative movement, but providing American-made, high-quality products at amazing prices, and now they're part of our show as well. My family and I are no stranger to the great products at MyPillow, having enjoyed their bed pillows for many years now. But I'm going to tell you about one of the products I don't think you hear enough about. It's their dog beds. Our dog, Regular Kara, she's not been the easiest to please when it comes to giving her a bed that she actually will sleep on. Well, that's not a problem anymore. Since we got our MyPillow dog bed, she has been in dog heaven, enjoying great rest in her own special place. And right now, with code REGULARJOE, you can get them as low as $19.99 for your dog bed. Check it out. Go to MyPillow.com/REGULARJOE and make sure to use the code REGULARJOE to get your special discount. Hey, Regular Joe here to talk to you about wine. No, not what liberals do, but what people of class drink. Earth Labora, an online one-of-a-kind wine retailer, brings unique, high-end, sustainable wines and spirits from around the world to U.S. wine enthusiasts. One of these wines being offered for the first time and with an exclusive offer to the listeners of the Regular Joe show are the wines of Via Caritatis Vineyards, made by Benedictine monks and nuns in France's Rhone Valley. These wines come from there directly to your doorstep with names such as Vox Red, Pax Red, and Lux Rouge. The roots of this wine can be traced back to the vineyard planted in 1309, and now wine lovers can experience them in the United States for the first time. To learn more and place your order, visit earthlabora.com. That's Earth, LABORA.com. Use code REGULARJOE10 to receive 10% off your purchase of these amazing Via Caritatis wines.
Fighting for truth, justice, and the American way. Without the cape, we're the superpowers, not even a sidekick. Heck, we don't even have fancy gadgets. This is just Joe and his trusty microphone, made in the USA. This is the Regular Joe Show.
Oh, so good.
Hello and welcome, Joe Gigante, your Regular Joe, and this is your VIP Backstage Soundcheck Podcast, exclusive to the wonderful, the awesome, the most splendiferous listeners of this, the Regular Joe Show. Really, you guys are the best. I love you. I wouldn't do it without you. I can't do it without you. Look, it is a partnership made in heaven to the chagrin of the left. I bring you the facts. I arm you with the information necessary to maintain this great republic. You, like me, head out as the arms and the legs of the truth to make sure to spread far and wide, to preserve this great republic, not for us, but for our children and our children's children. As it says in our Declaration, in our Constitution, our posterity. Now, you say that to a liberal, and they might think you're talking about your rear end, because after all, they really aren't good with words. But I digress. Much to cover today. Going to be talking about the first state assembly district and that race, a contested primary where a rhino is in the sights of a rock rib conservative. And more important, well, I shouldn't say more, but even of a higher office. I will be talking about my endorsement for lieutenant governor. Now, that one was not an easy decision, and I'll explain. I'm fully behind the candidate I'm going to list, but we actually had a fair number of very good people, which I got to be honest. I know it makes it harder for some people to discern an answer, but I actually think it's a good thing. I think when you have to pick between 2, 3, 4, whatever the number might be, depending on the race, of solid candidates for a single office, I really think that's awesome from the point of view that it benefits the people. Now, that being said, it makes it more difficult, but then you have to pick one. You can't pick all of them. And you know, that's what I had to discern through, and I will share My thoughts on that in a few moments here. Want to tell you about a couple important events coming up. First, one is this evening, the Fox Valley Initiative, which always is doing great stuff. I mean, I like to just share the fact that there are some fantastic groups out there that are on the regular trying to get things done and trying to make sure that you're well informed, that you have all the, again, what we try to do here on the show, they try to do with their organizations and what they do. And it, again, not all are built equal. As the great Larry Arndt has said, we're all equal in human dignity, but not in state, not in status as individuals. And for that matter, even, you know, as organizations. So, you know, from that point of view, that's what we're dealing with here. And I think that is the case. So first up, the Fox Valley Initiative tonight, the 1st of August at the Freedom Project Academy in Appleton, 750 North Hickory Farm Lane. They will have Jay Yerges, Special Agent with the Wisconsin Department of Justice Special Investigations Bureau, sharing findings of the Department of Justice investigation into the government's response to the 2020 Kenosha riots. This is very important. We're a week away from a major primary. We got a major election coming up. We need to know. Now, I personally think that Tony Evers bears a great deal of responsibility for the Kenosha riots. He went out half-cocked on the night of the shooting, blaming it on racist police officers, which, by the way, was completely false, before anyone knew any of the actual facts, and Kenosha burned for it. But Jay Yerges will be there, so you're going to want to hear from them. As I mentioned, there is a primary on August 9th. There are several seats that they want to highlight. Two of which they will highlight tonight in their meeting is Rachel Cabral Guevara, who is running for state senate, and Nate Gustafson, who is running for state rep. Now, with Guevara trying to move to the state senate's District 19 seat, vacated by State Senator Roger Roth, who is running for lieutenant governor, Gustafson is trying to replace Guevara in Assembly District 55. So you kind of have a little bit of a handoff there. Both will be participating tonight. You can learn more about that at the Fox Valley Initiative. And so you will have a great opportunity tonight to get out there, to learn, to meet some of these candidates, learn about the Kenosha riots firsthand from somebody that was involved in the investigation. All starts at 6:30 this evening. The Fox Valley Initiative taking place at the Freedom Project Academy, 750 North Hickory Farm Lane, 6:30 this evening. Be there. I always want to do the echo like when they do the race. Be there, be there, be there. 7580 Dragway. And it's the old ad I used to voice. Years and years and years ago. All right, then the second is there's a tour going on in Oconto tomorrow, August the 2nd. You have three candidates, different offices, making three stops, all in Oconto. Now, I know Kimbert, among others, were working hard to make this happen, to give you the chance, the opportunity to meet these candidates, hear from them directly, and really learn about them to decide who you want to support. So, gubernatorial candidate Timothy Rantham, lieutenant governor candidate Kyle Hughes, and attorney general candidate Karen Mueller will all be traveling tomorrow. I don't know that they're traveling together, but they're going to be at all three of the locations together. At 12 noon at the Firelight Lounge in Lakewood. At 3 p.m. at Randy's Place Bar and Bowl in Searing. I like that. Randy's Place Bar and Bowl. Says everything you need to know. And then at 6 p.m., rounding out the tour, stop number 3, Irish Greens Golf Course in Oconto. So again, you'll have an opportunity to check that out. We'll try to get some of this up on the website if we can in enough time this afternoon so you can get those details. But check these out. A great opportunity tomorrow. That's being brought to you tomorrow by the United Constitutionalists of Oconto County. That is the organization that made this possible for candidate meet and greets throughout the county tomorrow. First stop, 12 noon, Firelight Lounge. Every time I say that, I want to say Fireside Chat. The Firelight Lounge in Lakewood, 3 p.m. Randy's Place Bar and Bowl in Suring, and 6 p.m. Irish Greens Golf Course in Oconto. All right, so now you got those two things down, places to be, people to see, make sure you do it. If you don't take advantage of these opportunities, they're not going to come back around because the primary's in 8 days. So, that being said, to the first state assembly district. Now, I talked about this with Steve Schrader on his show this past Saturday. I wanted to speak about it again here. And I have got plenty of information here about Joel Kitchens, who is an incumbent member of the Republican caucus for the first state assembly district. I believe that Joel is the epitome of what a rhino Republican is and what we don't need in our state assembly if we really want to see change. Joel Kitchens will do whatever Robin Voss tells him. He will make sure that he does it with panache. But what he won't do is stand up for those issues that mean so much to so many of us. Now, he claims he does, but that's why we did the research. Now, they were both recently featured in a Green Bay Press Gazette article about the square off for the primary. Four-term state representative Joel Kitchens, Sturgeon Bay Republican, is being challenged for the first district GOP nod by Kewaunee County Board Supervisor Milt Swagel. One of them will face off against Roberta Thalen of Bailey's Harbor, the only declared Democrat in November. District 1 covers Door and Kewaunee counties, the towns of Scott, Humboldt, Eaton, and Green Bay in the northeastern section of Brown County. Kitchens had a contested primary for the run in 2014. He defeated then-Democrat Joe Majeski, but has not been primaried since in the three subsequent runs for re-election. Now he is. I would say it's a little overdue. Now, they had a standard questionnaire. Why are you running for office? I mean, really inventive questions. And Joel says he wants to repay his community for its kindness. Well, I would suggest if you wanted to do that, then pull out of the race, and you'll be repaying the community well. Milt, on the other hand, Swagel, says to serve the people, to give back for all the freedoms and benefits this great state has given me. I don't like how the state is directed now. I will tell Madison that the people come first. I like that answer much more than the mealy mouth, "I get back to my community." Why are you the best candidate? They asked at the Green Bay Press Gazette. Now, Joel's answer is what you might expect from a rhino. My broad background and my intellectual curiosity make me well qualified for this position. My extensive experience in agriculture and environmental issues, as well as owning a business, I have the communication skills necessary to effectively advocate for all the lobbyists in Madison. To effectively advocate for our area. We'll get to that in a minute. Swagel's response: I will stand up to Madison and say no to excessive spending and the growth of government. I am very pro-life, pro-gun, pro-family, pro-business. Again, winner, Swagel. Pretty straightforward, to the point. What have residents told us? Where it gets fun. What are the main issues and how do you hope to address them? Kitchen said the most pressing issue is the district, the shortage of workers, and the impact it's having on inflation and the supply chain, which is true, I'm sure. What he doesn't say is why did it happen? Swagel does in his answer. He said that he's been told the excessive spending and growth of government has gone on too long. He said that people have said they don't like how the COVID-19 pandemic was handled. They did not like the mandates for masking, social distancing, recommended shots. Recommended, that's a kind way of putting it. Closing of businesses, closing of schools, closing of churches. I will not allow any of this to take place. No mandates, no closures. The people should decide for themselves. They don't want personal freedom taken away. Now, I mention this particular question because, I have to fill in the blanks here. I'm not pretending that Joel and I have had any conversations. The most recent conversation was going back a few months where he expressed by email his dissatisfaction with my characterizing him on the elections, which I think he has been weak. I think, like, if you think of old Popeye cartoons, wimpy weak, that weak. Now, funny enough, I have some quotes from Joel Kitchens on mandates, on how things should be handled when it comes to lockdowns, for example. Joel Kitchens is one of the most extreme liberal Wisconsin state legislators, vocally in support of and voting in favor of Governor Evers' unconstitutional COVID actions, stating in a February 4th, 2021 op-ed, quote, "We do not believe it is prudent to remove the emergency order and mask mandate," end quote. This is from the Wheeler Report on February 4th of 2021 when the op-ed ran. So you might wonder when he says, well, they're worried about all these disruptions to workers and supply chain. Now, as I recall, Joel Kitchens is a physician of sorts. He's a veterinarian. So he would know, even in, you know, animal medicine, the same as human medicine, if you really want to fix the problem, you don't just treat the symptom. You have to find the root cause and address it. Having such an exaggerated problem with workforce, which is already a problem before COVID, but was made infinitely worse with the lockdowns. But that's nowhere to be found in his answer because, after all, he supported them. He did not think it would be prudent to let businesses operate, schools educate, churches enlighten and engage. No, he knew better than you knew, and that's what it comes down to. Next part of the interview with the Green Bay Press Gazette. So first, he talks about what issues are bothering people, and he addresses it, but without actually admitting that he's part of the problem. Next, they said, what is the most pressing issue facing Wisconsin? How would you address that issue? Well, again, here he talks about citizens who are dependent upon the government and locked into poverty generation after generation. Our achievement gap between the races is the greatest in of any state. Is there only two races? Of the races? I mean, really? Yikes, that language bothers me. It's a complex and multifaceted problem, he states. And now it begins with providing more educational opportunities and creating a business-friendly atmosphere that fosters the creation of well-paying jobs. Well, in the face of that, sounds great, Joe. How can you be against this guy? He seems to have all the answers. Well, he said we have to help break the generational issue of poverty and poor education, right? So what arrow do we have in our quiver that helps to do that and does it in such an amazingly effective way, in a way that does not discriminate over race, color, creed? Well, of course, universal school vouchers. Joel Kitchens, no, he doesn't supply, he doesn't support those at all. No, Joel Kitchens, being one of the more extreme liberal Wisconsin Republican state legislators, voted against expanding school choice when he had the opportunity in one of the sessions, saying, quote, according to the Door County Pulse, I'm not a real supporter of vouchers, end quote. Well, again, here we have bad medicine. We see symptoms. We're not willing to address the core issues to make it better. Let me let you in a secret, Mr. Kitchens, something that Joe Biden seems to agree with you on, and I disagree with both of you. Remember when Joe Biden said poor kids can learn as fast as well as white kids? Well, that's what it sounds like when you're sort of the generational gap and the race gap and nobody can learn. I got news for you. If they get a good education, any child can learn, which is why vouchers play an important role, as does the intact family, which I don't know that you're a big supporter of either. Because funny enough, in this interview they did with the Green Bay Press Gazette, the very next question was, would you vote to repeal Wisconsin's ban on abortions or add exemptions to the law, such as rape and incest? Well, where's Joel Kitchens been historically on these types of matters that directly impact the family, those that want to see the intact family grow? And be clear, Mother Teresa once said beautifully that abortion is the great destroyer of the family. And that is so absolutely true. But you know, Joel Kitchens actually voted against a pro-life bill that would have prevented the University of Wisconsin-Madison faculty from training resident physicians in abortion, stating, quote, I do not foresee that moving forward, he said, to light applause from the audience, who clearly are on board with, you know, his ideals, not the ideals of most Republicans in the state of Wisconsin, for that matter, most voters in the state of Wisconsin. He also takes great joy in the fact that he gets the support of organizations that would never really support Republicans. In other words, he's liberal enough that liberal groups recognize it, they support him, and he's proud of it, saying to the Door County Pulse, over my time in the assembly, I've gotten endorsements from groups that normally don't endorse Republicans. Well, that sounds like a winner. Let's go there. Well, I'm so proud of the Democrats that love me. I work hard for those liberal votes. Now, these aren't the only issues, but on just about everyone he was asked about, I have quote after quote. When it comes to guns, again, he tries to seem strong in the article, pretending as though he wouldn't do something. But then he says in the article in the Green Bay Press Gazette, just printed last week, that he thinks databases should be shared through various systems. Well, I got an idea. Why don't you advocate, Joel, for a national database of gun ownership? What could go wrong? After all, the government's here to help us. And that's what I think you want us all to remember. He said we should take a hard line against anyone who sells to those who do not pass a background check. That's already the law of the land, Joel. I don't want to shock you in that, but that, yeah, we already do. We just have to do what Milt answered. He said, I will not enact any legislation to change the Second Amendment or any gun laws. Enforce the laws that are already on the books today. The violator is not following present laws. He will not follow. If the violator is not following present laws, he will not follow more laws. See, that's what you call common sense responses from Milt Swagel. Joel Kitchens, on the other hand, says, well, why don't we just start sharing a bunch of databases and then, you know, take a crapshoot at it. Why not? Again, what could possibly go wrong? Joel Kitchens has historically been weak on protecting the Second Amendment, saying, quote, I don't have a lot of hope for drastic gun control being implemented. He doesn't have hope for it. That means he wants it. Because otherwise you'd be like, well, the good news is there'll be no drastic. But he says, I don't have much hope. Adding that people in northern Wisconsin, law-abiding citizens that they may be, well, they love their guns. He was asked by Ron Maloney a question on gun control and asked Kitchens why Wisconsin doesn't have a waiting period. His response, Joel Kitchens, I don't have a good answer for that. Direct quote, I don't have a good answer for that. Pushback is from people in the North, adamant about their gun rights. Well, how dare they? How dare they want to have a Second Amendment right? Huh, the chutzpah. They actually think the Constitution is a real important thing. And then they got on to voter integrity, asking directly, do you believe Joe Biden won the election? Now, that's a yes or no question, by the way. One of the two candidates, Milt Zweigel and Joel Kitchens, one gave a yes or no answer. The other one gave you word salad. Yes, Joel Kitchens gave you word salad, saying, without question, there were voting laws broken during the last election. Drop boxes, nursing home voting, and indefinitely confined claims were frequently done illegally. It sounds like he listens to the show. There is no proof, however, that these voters were not legally qualified, and the courts have made it clear they will not disqualify those ballots. That's actually not even true. We don't know that they are all qualified. I have an article from today's show, Stack, where they had no less than 73 individuals who voted multiple times that weren't qualified. That's number one. Number two, the court's decision said ballots that were delivered through ballot harvesting, through unattended drop boxes, are illegal. It doesn't matter if you're legally qualified to vote. If you vote in an illegal manner, it is nullified, because an illegal ballot is just that. Illegal. I know it's big words and lots of heavy thought, Joel, but that's okay. Milt, on the other hand, answered with a no. No, Joe Biden did not. He goes on to say, Milt, that his drop boxes were used for the first time. The movie 2000 Mules, see, does his search, his research, explains how the drop boxes were taken advantage of. He had the highest vote total of any presidential candidate ever? That's a question. Yeah, exactly. Not even close to true. Joel, by the way, does not support disbanding WEC either. But when asked more recently about the election, now let's see, the date of this article from the Green Bay Press Gazette was, I got to look it up on the front here. I want to say that one was the 28th. That came out on the 28th. Now that's interesting, because when it comes to election-related issues, on just 2 days earlier than that, the 26th, he was kind of singing a different song, according to the Capital Times. Quote, Rep. Kitchens was more defensive. An aide wrote Luft that Kitchens has been clear that he does not support efforts to decertify the election, as Gableman at one point asked, and doesn't see any fraud in the vote. Well, wait a minute, but didn't he just answer in the other article 2 days later that there was no question? Without question, there were voting laws broken. And he goes through, well, what is that if that's not fraud? Someone's using splicing hairs here to try to get to their answers. Now, the best part of that answer was the last sentence. He doesn't see any fraud in the vote, and he has privately told effeminate Speaker Robin Voss that. I mean, it says told Voss that. I just want to make sure you understood exactly what Voss we were talking about. He even said, I don't agree. He said, while I did not have a say in the matter, I did not agree with the decision of the Republican National Committee and the Republican Party of Wisconsin to file an appeal on the federal judge's ruling regarding the 2020 elections. So again, not exactly what he's cracked up to be. I am proud to endorse Milt Zweigel, who will be a rock rib conservative and a much better servant of the people in the 1st Assembly District if you choose him on August the 9th in the primary. He is currently an elected county board member in Kewaunee, so he has proven that he can win elections, but more importantly, he has proven he will stick to his convictions and stand up and serve the people that elect him versus Rhino Joel Kitchens, who will tell you a lot of things but not actually deliver on what he tells you. Or maybe that day he means it, and 2 days later he means something completely different. One never knows. But when you can't have truth is always consistent. And there's a lot of inconsistency with Joel Kitchens. Now, I want to wrap up by talking about the lieutenant governor's race in the state of Wisconsin. There are, by my count, 8 candidates for the lieutenant governor slot. I have met all but one of them. I've never met Will Martin. but I have met David King on multiple occasions. I have first met Roger Roth when he ran for Congress back in 2010, and then became reacquainted with him in this particular run for Lieutenant Governor. State Senator Pat Testin and I have met different times, different events. David Varnum, same thing, many events. Cindy Werner, Jonathan Wickman, and Kyle Yudes. And there are some very wonderful people in this lineup that are running for Lieutenant Governor. David Varnum has a background working with Focus on the Family, and I think brings a lot of strong attributes from that time, working with Dr. Dobson. Now, when I hosted a Lieutenant Governor's debate with the Outagamie and Calumet County Republican parties, we had there David King, Roger Roth. Pat Testin did not show. He was supposed to be there. David Varnum, Cindy Werner couldn't be there. Jonathan Wickman was there for part of it, and Kyle Yudes. Now, of everybody that was there, we asked that question about, did Joe Biden win the election? Or what? I believe the way I phrase it was the election stolen? Two people in that lineup said no. And it's okay if you say no. It depends on what you say after that. Because some people don't like the word stolen. Some people think there's a better word. In the case of David Varnum and Roger Roth, those were the two that said no. Their arguments for saying no really sounded a lot to me, and this is my opinion, I'm just giving it, that it was politically savvy to say no, while then explaining all the reasons why the answer should have been yes. I was not content with those answers because, as I actually pressed David Varnum more on the COVID lockdowns and other things related, not directly to the election, but in that period of time, you know, it became clear to me that one of the things that I think is an attribute that we must have in our elected officials is the courage to stand up, even if you're the only person in the room willing to do so, because it's the right thing to do. Because you know the situation. You know what you believe. You have the conviction, the courage of conviction, to stand up, especially when there's 100 people in the room and 99 are going along with whatever's being said, whether it's true or false, and you're the only one, or at least seemingly the only one that knows it's not true, and you're willing to stand up and say the emperor is not wearing any clothes. That's a non-negotiable in our leadership. In that Lieutenant Governor's debate, and I want to be clear, I think David Varnum is a good man. I think he has a lot of strong conservative principles that I respect. But I didn't see that courage of conviction from him or from Roger Roth in those answers. So therefore, I couldn't support them, at least in this primary decision. Again, when we see who prevails, well, I have to make a decision like everybody else. But I want to be clear, I do like David Varnum. I think he's a good guy. And it got, again, a lot of good principles. Roger Roth recently introduced a bill that touches on questions of voter integrity. That's awesome. Why is it coming out now, a month before the primary? Where have we been for the last several years? He's been an elected state senator for some time now. Again, convenience is not what I want. I want fighters. I want men and women of courage. I got to know Cindy Werner. Again, she wasn't at the debate, but I've gotten to know her. I think she's a fantastic conservative and a great activist that has done a lot of very good things. I think she articulates the conservative message well. But all that being said, again, as much, and this was not an easy decision, because I'll tell you, when it came down to making my final decision, it really sat between three people in the entire lineup. And those three, I mean, I'll tell you who the three were. It was Dr. David King, Cindy Werner, and Kyle Hughes. I've been impressed by them. I've been impressed by a lot of people, but really they stood out to me the most. And for different reasons and different ways. And as I said, I think Cindy's awesome. I think she's done some very good things. I just didn't feel that her, from a statewide approach, I didn't see, even in the last debate that I watched that was done at Marquette, I just didn't see the fire that I thought needs to be there. And not just there, but as you look at the totality over the past few years. And with Dr. David King, again, phenomenal speaker, fantastic, knows the issues, talks very well to them from his heart, and I appreciate that. But ultimately, my decision is to endorse Kyle Hudes. And part of that comes from not just what I've seen on the campaign trail, and that's been impressive. He's been an underdog candidate, doesn't have the funding that the sitting state senators that are running have, doesn't have some of the other advantages other people have from networks, because he really is an outsider trying to do the right thing. One of the things that has impressed me the most when his name first was brought to my attention was long before he was running for office in any way or even thinking about it. He first rose to prominence, at least to me, during the COVID lockdowns. And at a time where we were hard-pressed to find, well, not just anyone on this list, but anyone on any of the lists of candidates running right now, he was out there doing what needed to be done. And something that goes back to that carries through to this day, and at that debate that I did moderate, and at the second debate that I saw, the second one I saw, the Marquette debate, in both instances, he did something that very few others were doing. When he would make his arguments, he would cite state statutes and existing laws to explain why it was what was being done was either right or wrong, and how he thought it could be done better. Now, again, lieutenant governor is largely considered to be ceremonial in that they don't have official authority, only whatever the governor asks them to do. But they are one heartbeat away from being the governor if something goes wrong. If the governor is incapacitated, their life is low, whatever it might be. So it's somebody you want to make sure can do the job. From those times during the lockdowns, he didn't brag to the world about what he was doing, try to make videos so everybody would know what he had on his mind. Instead, he went out and did it. He built an organization, Recipes for Freedom, from the ground up. Again, not to self-aggrandize in any way, but frankly, to get the job done, to give people hope and direction when very few others were willing to go out and do that. They were looking for people with feet on the ground. His feet were on the ground, not just in one part of the state, all over the state of Wisconsin. As a matter of fact, Minnesota, and if I remember right, part of Iowa as well. During lockdowns, no less. Again, courage of conviction, execution on that courage. When everyone else said, sit down and shut up, he stood up and said, nah, I don't think so. Let me tell you why. And just like then and now, he backs it up with the facts, knowing the law, knowing the statutes. That tells me he spends the time doing the work. And that's why he's impressed me, and that's why I'm endorsing him. Because I think as your lieutenant governor, he will do the work. He will be the one man that will stand up in a group of 100, 1,000, whatever it might be, to say, you know what? No, that's not right. This isn't what we asked for. This isn't what you promised. This isn't what the law allows. And we need those voices. You know, our government, both federally and statewide, in our constitutions, was founded on a healthy tension. Everyone always talks about the kumbaya. Hey, doesn't everyone get along? I just want Republicans and Democrats to sit together, play the bongos, smoke a little pot, and sing kumbaya. Nobody really wants that. They say that you don't. And I'm going to tell you why you shouldn't want that. That's not what our founders envisioned. Read what they wrote about each other. I mean, these were some of them lifelong friends, but man, they had no problem saying you're wrong. And here's why you're wrong. Now, they did it in a much more genteel way, a much more intelligent way. But, I mean, for that matter, what are the Federalist Papers? They're arguments back and forth about what's the best way to govern. And these were the guys writing that they were in the trenches literally together in some cases. And there was some rivalries that came out of that that weren't necessarily that healthy either. But the point is, our government, our small r, Republican form of government is founded on the concept that you have a separation of powers, that you have checks and balances, and for that to work, you want to have a healthy tension. No, I say healthy tension. you want, to a certain degree, a healthy tension in the state of Wisconsin where we don't have a ticket, right? Our governor is, there's a primary for governor, there's a primary for lieutenant governor. They don't run like vice president and president where they run together. No, they run separately after the primary. Yeah, they work together. And you want them to work together, but you also don't want yes men and yes women. You want people that will sit there and hold each other accountable. Someone that's not afraid to say, you know what? That's not what you said you were going to do. Or this is what it doesn't have to be negative. Sometimes, hey, you want to get this done? I have an idea. Rebecca Clayfish, as lieutenant governor, did that well. She pushed hard to give that office a little more input and authority. And I think that was good for the state of Wisconsin. I think that Kyle Hughes will do everything she did and much more because of because he's coming out of the trenches. This is not unlike electing one of our founding fathers after the Revolution. They put everything on the line, they prevailed, and then they went to serve in a different way. And I think that's what we will have here. So that's why I am endorsing him. And I understand I'm going to get guff from other people that are running for lieutenant governor that I know and I like. And they're going to be offended. But you know what? I made this decision to do this because I thought it was that important. Because I truly believe he will be the right person for the job. And that he will give us the best return on our investment if we vote for him on August 9th. And I hope you will as well. So now you know where I stand on lieutenant governor. Love to hear your feedback. You know how to do it. We'll be back every Monday through Friday. 888-737-1737. Tomorrow, we'll be talking to somebody running against an incumbent state senator in Wisconsin who also has gotten a little too fat and too happy, figuratively speaking. As I understand, he spends a lot of time making sure he looks pretty, so I don't want to make that seem literal. Either way, we'll be talking about that state senate fight a little bit in the show and then in tomorrow's VIP Backstage Soundcheck podcast. Between now and then, ladies and gentlemen, those three words to guide your path forward: live life boldly.